It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. His city. His house. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now. 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 On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome to the Friday Roundtable. Jeff Blair, Arash Madani, Doug Smith, John Shannon. Shannon, who are you sending an email to?
Me. Smitty. Dear Doug, what's going on with the Clippers?
How about that Kessel? Are we going right?
No. Well, we've had a few of those. Literally. How about those Kessels?
Yeah, I was going to say, you've probably had a few. How about those Kessels? We will deal with Phil Kessel later on in the show, and indeed the whole free agent frenzy, such as it was. It continues, actually. Free agents and trades and all sorts of good stuff.
It will continue until the day before training camp starts now, because there'll be that, you know, that two-week dip, and then the people will get desperate, and then teams will get desperate, and then middle of August, late August, people will sign a couple of deals every one more time. And oh, you mean that guy is old and we need a seventh defenseman, you know, and we'll give him the $1 million minimum because he's over 35.
It'll be a bargain.
Yeah. Like the two guys that could bargain today. You hear those numbers? Holy smokes.
I like the
Brandon Saad, 6x6. Yeah. Ryan O'Reilly, basically 7.5x7.
But all of O'Reilly's was signing bonus for the most part, right?
He gets his salary because he can live on it. Is $1 million a year.
Yeah.
For the 7 years.
Terry O'Reilly's still playing?
Yeah. Isn't that? Oh, attaboy, Doug. I'm proud of you.
Way to go. Drop the Terry O'Reilly.
And then signing bonus is like $10 million.
Which are taxed at a much lower rate than salary. Generally. In most jurisdictions, signing bonuses, I know for a fact that here they are. And in most jurisdictions in the U.S., a signing bonus is taxed at a much lower rate.
Why? Because it's a larger lump sum?
It's just taxed at a much lower rate. It's taxed at a much lower rate.
Is that also in the hockey cap circumvention? Is that a way to get around?
No. That counts against the cap, baby. Yeah.
That's in the summer playtime conversation.
It's just that, you know, every July 1st, you write a check.
Happy Canada Day.
Happy Canada Day.
You know, it's like Shea Weber. There was a giant party in Kelowna, B.C. at Shea Weber's house. He got a check for 13. $15 million.
Tails in comparison to Kessel's four.
Yeah.
Right?
We will we'll move on. We'll deal with that.
We'll deal with that later.
No, that's all right. It's fine. The Ryan O'Reilly contract is...
Creative.
Creative is the word. Brandon Saad, now you can see why Chicago, I guess, had to move him.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And, you know, again, their commitment to win... we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I know you got other things and you're in charge.
No, we'll talk about that. I just want to give it more time. I want to let it breathe. I want to let it breathe a bit. The Toronto Blue Jays be in Detroit to start a three-game series against the Tigers tonight. And thanks to the Pan Am Games, it'll be the first of 10 consecutive road games.
I'm sure I'm quite fine with that. That'd be good. Good for them. Good for Griff. Good for the writers.
Many Marriott points. That's all the Pan Am Games mean.
and no driving in the HOV.
No driving in the HOV.
No Marriott points for me.
Stay out of the HOV.
Because the basketball is like the one event that's really big.
I cover like seven Olympics. Always got points. If they have one in my hometown, I get nothing.
Okay, hold on for a minute before we deal with this. You got points in China too, right?
No, I went to Shanghai for a couple of days. So yeah,
okay, because I managed to get points for the soccer in Shanghai.
Yeah, London, I got points.
There's a Fairfield Inn at Aaron Mills Parkway and the QEW. we can put you in there.
If you really want.
It's on a go stage, yeah. Got a go line, I'm just fine.
There's a courtyard not far from Maple Leaf Gardens, too.
Yeah, I know. Maybe my boss is listening. Jennifer, listen to me.
Yeah.
I really got to stay downtown.
The Jays, as I said, get their series started. We're still waiting. I think it's safe to say that after watching Marco Estrada's last start and Matt Boyd's start, or Matt Boyd's eight batters, however many batters he faced, I don't really want to call it a start last night. Anybody who was thinking for even a second that, you know, maybe this whole pitching need thing is a little overblown. I would imagine people would be reexamining their
situation right now. These are the same people that you thought you could start two rookies in your opening day rotation, a rookie center fielder, and get away with it.
And have a rookie in the bullpen.
Yeah, and get away with this. So there was
and a rookie second base.
There were people who were wondering whether Estrada would start the first playoff game. Six days ago. I don't know, but no.
After the second near perfecto, there were not.
Yes, there were.
No, there were not.
I guarantee you.
Okay, maybe there were. Maybe there were. Maybe
you're not suggesting the bandwagon is easy to jump on and off, are you?
Especially in this town. He might be good, but
the best thing about a baseball bandwagon, it's 162. I mean, it doesn't stop. It just keeps every day. There's people to add, people to take off.
But what's happening here? So now Felix Dubron's going to get called up. Is it just let's get to the All-Star break here and reassess? I mean, it's almost as if they're throwing one arm after another. I think after last night,
you just need somebody who can pitch
just
this weekend.
Just a warm body.
You need people who can pitch this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, I guess give Felix Dubron a try right now as opposed to make a deal for what's out there in the market. Dubron's numbers at AAA were fine. So were Matt Boyd's and his little time there. I don't think anybody looks at Felix Dubron as a long-term answer, but as I said, you certainly got to do something else other than just simply run out Matt Boyd again the next time. I mean, my concern would be, because we've seen it in the past, guys come up and get their you-know-what's lit up, and you don't see him again. And I'm not saying that's going to be the case with Matt Boyd, because he certainly seems to be the type of guy who, he certainly handles himself well and acquits himself well. But, I just wonder where this long-term, where this organization, where it goes right now.
Well, these are obviously Band-Aids, A, to push guys back a day.
That's
to buy you time for your four guys who are your guys.
Yeah, and I think it also, at this stage of the year, pushing them back a day is probably not the worst thing.
I think that was a wise idea. I think that was a very good idea when they've done it, but obviously, all these kids coming up from Buffalo getting one start or two starts are Band-Aids.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, the box of Band-Aids gets empty. And then you got to make the move. And whether it's right after All-Star or right before All-Star or whenever, you got to make the move.
Yeah, I think Jose Reyes, speaking to Brendan Kennedy of the Star, I mean, Jose Reyes, could he have been any clearer? I mean, everybody in here knows what we need. I mean, it's no surprise they need one, two arms. Yeah, that's it.
And isn't always the problem is if you bring the kids up and you keep them for one, you take them to a second one, and invariably they get sent down after they fail, as opposed to staying ahead of the curve. When you consider what you're supposed to do with these guys, and put them in for a single game, send them back, or they pitch a second game, and all of a sudden they're not near as effective in their second game as they were in their first.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only other thing you could do, would you send Boyd down after the first start, bring Dubron up to make the last one?
I don't know.
John, there are people out there, frankly, who were surprised that Boyd was the guy that came up to begin with. A lot of people thought Dubron would be the guy.
But after Boyd's first start, you had to give him a second.
Yeah, I think so.
That becomes the challenge, though, Doug. That's my point. That becomes the challenge is you go to the well until – well, there's nothing there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that becomes the real issue.
And, I don't think Alex or John Gibbons would say this, but I'd be willing to bet that in the back of their mind, they're thinking, how bad can the second start be with our offense?
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Guy gives up. Horrible game. 5 runs. We can get that back. Sure. I don't think they counted on 8 earned runs in one inning.
And it was still a four-run game in the third inning. If they still were there, it was like they got half of them back in the second inning.
So By the way, I'll give one of you $500 if you can explain the play at the plate in the fifth inning.
None. No. Yeah. No clue.
Yeah. Shai Davidi did the best job of anybody that I've seen. I still can't understand it.
And what did he say effectively?
I can't even remember, but it was good.
So 3 weeks ago...
Shai's good.
Shai is good.
That is good if you get... Yeah.
Basically, because the catcher... The umpire screwed up by calling Valencia out. Okay?
Okay, I'm with you there.
Right. The umpire screwed up by calling him out. Valencia assumed he was out. The catcher... was being told by Wade Miley, the pitcher, tag him, tag him. The catcher tagged him. Apparently, that constitutes an appeal. That was the explanation from the umpire. So,
okay. That's convoluted, but that's understandable. It is.
The more you think about it, it is kind of understandable.
The ball was never out of play. They kept it in play. They made the appeal. It's like going on a rubber stepping off the back to put the ball back in play.
I mean, it's all easy if the umpire makes no call. Then the play still goes on. But anyhow, it cost them a game. It cost them a game. Yeah, it would have been 8-5. The other thing, the other side issue, and what
the league hates Canada.
What John Gibbons was really mad about was the fact that, you know, it appeared as if Ryan Hannigan contravened the blocking the plate rule. But, you know, that's another rule. Yeah, that's another
rule in sports.
So three weeks ago, the conversation was, do the Blue Jays go get a starter or a reliever?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, does it not appear as if
both?
Or maybe even two starters.
Well, two starters.
I don't think two starters is possible, but is one starting arm going to be enough? And I don't know.
But isn't Alex on record saying he needs two arms?
Yeah, he has said he wants to get two arms. And what he really hasn't said is how Aaron Sanchez factors into that.
Right.
If you get one arm and you can put Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen at the end of the game, that's fine. I would think what he would like to do is get a good starter, put Sanchez at the back end of the bullpen, and get another, I'm going to call him a reliable reliever, somebody with maybe a little bit of a track record of closing, not somebody you're not going to have to blow your brains out to get. I mean, maybe a guy like Tyler Clippard or somebody like that, not a Jonathan Papelbon or an Aroldis Chapman. That's what I think he would like to do.
So then where is Sanchez? Sanchez becomes your eighth inning guy or seventh
becomes your eighth inning guy or your ninth inning guy. Depends. If he's the best arm in the bullpen, he becomes your ninth inning guy. I mean, it depends who you get.
Yeah.
Depends who you get.
But the priority is obviously the starter.
Sure.
I think the starter cures more of the ills.
Yeah, yeah.
More of your ills right away.
Absolutely.
You know, because the thing that's odd, and I'll give Mike Wilner credit for this because he pointed this out a lot in June. You know, as much as we were harping in the bullpen, overall the bullpen's numbers in June were really good. They were pretty good. I want to say really good. They were pretty good. I mean, they were middle of the pack. They weren't the smoking heap that everybody thought they were. But what they lacked was what they still lack. The guy who's going to come in 1-2-3. Mm-hmm. Osuna's done it a bit, but I don't think you really want to put your faith in a kid.
Right.
In a kid that age.
But if you think Sanchez is a back end of the bullpen guy, same kind of thing, right?
But you've got the difference is A, Sanchez did it last year.
Yeah.
And B, if you've got both of them in there, you've got, you know, Osuna's a safety net for Sanchez and Sanchez is a safety net for Osuna. I mean, the big problem right now is other than Osuna, they don't have anybody who can come in and go 1-2-3 strikeout.
Right.
Over.
Right.
They don't have anybody. Everybody else is, ground ball in play.
Honestly, when was the last time they had somebody that could do that?
Well, seriously. B.J. Ryan, first year he was here, locked everything down. After that?
Then he was never healthy.
Yeah, after that.
Casey Jansen for the first half of last
season. Casey Jansen, yeah.
Before he got...
Casey wasn't, oh my God, here comes Casey Jansen, lights out.
No, he was. Here comes Casey Jansen. There's Joey McLaughlin. There'd be a single, a walk, a rocket. Ground ball, double play. We win.
Yeah.
It wasn't the 1-2-3.
It wasn't the guy who was going to come in and strike two guys out and then get the week.
Wasn't Kevin Gregg either. So.
Kevin Gregg actually had a decent run here.
For half a season.
But then he became Kevin Gregg.
Yeah. Funny how that happened.
Right? Yeah. He became Kevin Gregg all of a sudden.
You look good when you see him on play. You're sitting in a hotel room, or you're sitting in the bar, and when he used to come in for another team after he played for the Jays, and you'd say, "Oh, don't worry, he'll blow it." Yeah. And you know, 5 out of 7 times, you looked pretty good.
Baltimore, I think you went to after the Blue Jays.
You know what you're doing, talking about baseball. Kevin Gregg, he won't keep it up.
No, there'll be a runner. There'll be a base runner. Like, hang on a sec.
That's right.
Yeah. Kevin Gregg was not. He did not give you an inordinate amount of confidence on deadline
what
when
is
you
the,
were writing.
Has the price changed on Chapman?
I don't know if the price has changed. I still can't figure out why the hell Cincinnati want to trade him.
Yeah.
There's no financial pressure. They've got him under contract for another year. Unless, you know, I suppose they're looking at it the way Tampa looked at David Price. Tampa got a pretty good haul for David Price, but Chapman's a closer. I don't think a closer is going to get you the same amount that a starter is going to get you with the extra year. Yeah, if I'm Cincinnati, I'm looking at things. Yeah, we're probably going to have to rebuild our rotation next year. But the way baseball is right now with the one-game playoff, you could do worse than have the one edge you have over seemingly every team in baseball is you've got a guy who can come in and throw 100 miles an hour and lock it down. I don't see the rush to trade him. I see the rush to get rid of Leak and maybe Johnny Cueto. That makes sense because you want to get something in return besides draft picks for guys who are free agents. But I don't understand why you'd want to move Aroldis Chapman. You know, unless somebody comes along and just makes you a silly offer. But I don't.
No, I don't think Alex is prone to make silly offers. He's being too careful.
No, and
he shouldn't. He shouldn't.
No. Now the thing that
do you believe, Jeff, that this organization is gun shy at all because of what Syndergaard has become?
No, I think this organization's gun-shy because of B.J. Ryan. This organization lives in perpetual fear of signing a closer, paying him a great deal of money, and having him crap out after a year. That's why they didn't go after Andrew Miller this year. Andrew Miller's hurt. I realize that. But this organization has to get over the fear of B.J. Ryan. And I think part of the issue is that...
That was a different time,
It was a different time, but it was also, you know, Paul Beeston, who is the president now, he was the guy who had to come down to this building and go in and tell the Rogers board that we're swallowing $18.1 million to get rid of this guy, if you remember when they let him go. And you know, easy for me to sit here and say, oh, come on, you know, spend more money. I got to think if you've done that, you're probably you're a little gun shy when it comes to closes. But I think that's something this organization
but
has to get over.
How much have they eaten on Romero? Almost the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the dollar figure would be in Romero. But
Ricky really hasn't pitched Jeff since 2012.
The difference
he came in
is,
for a minute in 13.
The difference is the commitment to Ricky Romero at that time was kind of understandable.
Sure.
The commitment to B.J. Ryan when they made it, there were a lot of critics. There were a lot of critics locally and in the national media right away saying, oh, my God, this is way too much money to give a guy who's a closer. But that, to me, is if there's a gun-shy element to the organization, to me, that's it. It's this, you know, this idea that we can somehow put a bullpen together. You know, maybe. Mm. But
yeah, you could probably put the front end of a bullpen together. You can scramble through 6 through 8. With your lefty righty, you could match up and scramble in the front end. You need a back end guy.
And what I get tired of is people say, well, look at Tampa Bay; they do it every year. And my argument is, and look at their starting pitching.
And how far does their starting pitching take them?
Yeah,
6-7 innings every night.
Look
right?
at their starting pitching. So of course they can, you know, throw odds and ends together because traditionally they've had pretty good starting pitching. It's kind of hard, I think, to cobble a bullpen together when you're kind of crossing your fingers about your rotation at the same time.
Yeah, and your bullpen might be throwing 6-inning games 4 days out of 5.
Right.
Which kills them. Like, you know, everybody knows the trickle-down effect. If the first game of a series, your starter doesn't get to the middle of the third, your bullpen's screwed until the end of the series.
Yeah. You know,
everything gets out of whack.
You know, we haven't had for a while, by the way, a hockey signing. According to multiple reports, Joel Ward signed with the San Jose Sharks.
Good for Joel.
Yeah. So continue your discussion.
Big tennis fan, Joel Ward.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. That's a good. Big day for Canadian tennis. Hey, Madani.
There probably are four guys in the world who know that besides you. I'm proud of you. Good job.
There you go. Thank you.
Big day for Canadian tennis today. Anyhow.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the primetime bullets. Getting back to our baseball discussion, I think that's what the Jays do. You think they're gun shy?
I do.
You do?
I do. I think it's beyond just B.J. Ryan. It's the fear of if we give up Norris, if we give up Hoffman, are we sending Jeff Hoffman out to watch him become Noah Syndergaard again? And I think people have to get over that. I think the organization has to get over that. It's difficult to swallow, especially when you just watch him do what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Alex Anthopoulos doesn't have to pay for the fails of the last 22 years.
No.
But I can't remember a time where the Division A is this open for business to go win the division. And B, the time be better to go for it. The way the contracts are set up with these guys, the way they're expiring, this is the time to go for it. And if Jeff Hoffman becomes that, but you win the division, so be it. That was the point. Go after it. Do it. And I think this is the year. This is the time they have to do that.
If they don't do it, they're going to get fired.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do it and it doesn't work, you're going to get fired anyway.
Yeah.
So you may as well make a bold stroke. I think Alex and Paul both know what the future is for them as sure. employees of the Blue Jays. They're not dumb men. They know.
Of course.
So why not make the bold, not the crazy bold move, but make the move that is obvious. If you got to sacrifice a kid at Double A, sacrifice him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make the move this early before the deadline? Do you do it at the deadline? When do you do it?
I think
you do it as soon as possible.
I'm a big believer. You do it as soon as possible.
Sooner you do it, you got them.
You need a closer. You need a closer tonight. You're going to need a closer on July 31st. Yeah. Give me the closer now. That's 23 games, 22 games. I've got a closer.
I think everybody would agree the price goes up the closer you get to the deadline.
Yeah, although people tell me that actually you end up paying more if you do it before because the trading team is saying, don't forget, I'm giving you this guy for an extra 22. I think it depends on the commodity too. But, the thing that I find funny, if you look at the standings too, and this is kind of where baseball's where the wild card, the one game wild card is entered into it. It was 10 days ago that people were saying the Boston Red Sox should maybe look at backing up the truck. They're what? They're five out? Six out? I mean, they're...
Yeah, July 4th, you start the season right? Look at the standings now.
Any season in this division goes on a 10-game winning streak? Oh, my.
Except this team did.
Yeah, the problem is everybody in this division, and they didn't do it themselves. They were going in a 10-game winning streak.
Well, the Yankees were
9-1, and Tampa was 8-2. And the problem is
Buck Showalter's just hanging around.
Yeah,
well, just hanging around.
Yeah, and the problem is when people lose in this division, everybody loses.
Yeah.
Everybody goes in a 2-game losing streak. You know, at the same time, I mean, it's if you look at the standings, it's really remarkable. And everybody inside the division is either, with the exception of Boston. They're 2 to 4 games over 500 inside the division.
And maybe it's me, but isn't what Kansas City and the run that Kansas City went on second half of the season last year in the playoffs enough fuel for a lot of teams to say, hey, we should probably just try to do it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I mean, because let's face it, everybody wished every time Kansas City won another playoff game, everybody said,
well,
are you kidding me?
If you take a look right now in the American League, the wild card, Oakland and Chicago are 6.5 out of the wild card. Chicago's 10 out of their division. Oakland's 10.5 out of their division. Now, obviously, you know that the more teams there are in front of you, the harder it is to get there. But I'll tell you what, if you're a general manager, you've got to at least be thinking, 6.5. You've got to be doing the math. You got to be doing the math in that wild card thing. And I think that's part of the thing right now is so many teams still think they're in it.
They're in it, yeah.
You know, and as I said, even Boston's 6 out.
And people in Boston were ready to...
Well, I remember 10 days ago.
John Farrell was not their most popular guy for the longest time.
And they were talking about, is it time to start?
Sure.
Maybe making a move with some of the older guys, and here they come.
That's the magic of a 162-game season, though.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is this season? I mean, just... You stay at it, you stay patient, you don't panic, you know, you learn to bring the right guys up at the right time, then all of a sudden you still have a chance in July.
Yeah, and you don't shoot yourself behind the ear in June and July. And
right.
So that you're there in the first week of August, then you're, what, 4 out and then
so
game
I guess,
a week.
But that goes to my question about when you do this deal. You know, I mean, because, I mean, if you do agree to take somebody, you're paying, you know, the longer you wait, the less you're paying the guy. On his contract, so that's money you're saving somehow, some way. And again, you get the feel of treading water. Okay, now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. And it seems to be different in this sport than the others. It seems to be different. And I think it's just because of the amount of games. The amount of games you play, and you're at it every day.
And there's no cap.
Yeah. You win three or four in a row, though, and you feel good about yourself.
Okay, Don.
But, you know, it's true. You win three or four in a row, you feel good about yourself.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I mean, so, and it's an interesting, baseball, and baseball has that attitude of going for the gusto more than any other sport, too.
Yeah.
Every year. We can reinvent ourselves in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, we liked our draft 3 years ago, and they're going to come out of the woodwork.
No, but I think the fact that there's no salary cap plays a major impact in all
you
of
can,
this.
You can spend your way out of oblivion every summer if you want. Every winter if you want to.
You can't make a move to fit everything in.
Except, Arash, it's the self-imposed caps that are the
issue.
You know, the teams that say, we're not going past $90 million. We're not going past $110 million.
Yeah, someone,
what's the team number here? 120?
Someone spoke to GM at the winter meetings a couple of years ago, and I remember the guy saying, yeah, I don't have a salary cap, but I got a hard budget cap. I got a hard budget cap that I'm dealing with. Speaking of salary caps and things of that nature, I keep looking at the NBA and taking a look at that TV contract coming down the road, and I wonder what type of an impact that's going to have in things. The Toronto Raptors, I think we all agree, got off to a pretty good start to free agency signing Damari Carroll. We'll discuss that when the Friday Roundtable continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. On demand. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Friday Roundtable, just ahead of Blue Jays baseball and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Jays and the Detroit Tigers. We'll start a three-game series tonight in Detroit with Drew Hutchison on the mound against Anibal Sanchez. First pitch set to fly just after 7 o'clock. First pitches on Saturday and Sunday will be 1 p.m. The Toronto Raptors got an early start on free agency. They have signed Damari Carroll to a reported 4-year, $60 million deal. When does that become, when can they announce that, by the
July
way?
July 9th.
July 9th. A 4-year, $60 million deal. It's their first signing of the offseason. I think, from most people's point of view, Doug, a good first signing of the year for for Masai Ujiri.
He becomes their best perimeter defender, toughest guy, and fills one of two glaring needs. So yeah, it was a great, they swooped in quickly, got it done. They're the only team Carroll met with. They went in with a number. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do. Here's why you want to come. Here's what we'll do for you. Done. He blew off meetings with the Knicks.
That's what I was going to say. He didn't meet with the Knicks, did he?
No. Yeah. Raptors were the first people he saw at midnight on Wednesday. And he signed before he met. He blew off meetings with Knicks, Pistons, and I can't remember the third team now. Sacramento, I think.
What gave
so three non-playoff teams?
Yes.
Yeah.
What gave the Raptors the edge in that relatively quick?
They might have overpaid by $1 million or so a year.
But 2 years down the road, that isn't going
to
change.
It'll be an average salary in two and a half years. I think the fact they've been in the playoffs twice, won two divisions. Got a good, pretty good young, intriguing young core.
Yep.
And they have a role for him. Mm-hmm. And I think if you were a basketball player of some skill at the start of middle of your career, you would want to play in Toronto before you'd want to play in Detroit or New York or Sacramento or a handful of other cities because the team's not bad.
And especially if I know that my skill set and my role is. I mean,
it's exactly what you need.
It's exactly what you need. Yeah. Exactly. There's going to be no unknowns for him coming.
No. And the money was going to be the same if he'd gone to New York. The money would have been the same if he'd gone to Detroit. That was the market. The Raptors went in. They may be $1 million over, maybe not. But this is it. They got it done. And I think they probably got it done by saying, hey, come with us, or we're going out west to figure something else out. You want to do this? Let's do this. Give us eye credit,
man.
Would
they have given him a deadline or no?
I think they probably would have said, we don't know by like tomorrow, we're flying to Dallas to talk to somebody else.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take other meetings. But we're not budging off our number. So don't hold us up.
What does his acquisition do for the Raptors? I mean, you said it addresses one of their needs. What does it do for existing Raptors personnel, though? Like, what impact will that have on?
I think it might make Terrence Ross expendable. More expendable than he was 36 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him tougher for existing. I think it makes it a little bit easier for DeMar because you got he doesn't have to guard the best wing player anymore. Mm-hmm. I think there's a it'll be a shot across the bow of James Johnson because we got a guy who's as tough as you, who's better than you, who gets along with people better than you do. So mm-hmm. you better shape up or leave.
How enamored are they with Terrence Ross, do you think?
I think Terrence Ross has one skill you can't teach, and that's shooting.
Yeah.
And in this man's NBA, that's pretty valuable. So they're not ready to give up on him. But if they get an offer or they got to put him in a package with some cap space or the Luke Ridnow contract and you get back a – if you get an $8 million player, supposedly better than Terrence Ross at 3.5, you're going to do that, and he goes, mm-hmm. he's got to go. Makes him more of a chip to play.
It really does seem to set up other things, doesn't it?
Like, absolutely.
It really does.
Yeah. And they're going to have to trade into the power forward spot because I don't think they're going to get Aldridge.
Right.
I think he's going to go to San Antonio.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I do.
Despite the second meeting with the Lakers?
Yeah, I think the Lakers are a non-factor. I really
and
do.
And I see you met with Pat Riley this afternoon, too.
Yeah, and the story is that Riley said, sign a short-term deal because I'll come back and get you next summer when I got money and I got room.
That's not tampering, eh?
Once you get a room, you can do anything you want. But, but you know, I don't think they get Aldridge because I think he's going to go to the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably got to trade into that power forward spot because I think David West is going to go to Washington or maybe Houston. I'm not sure. Somewhere. Where he thinks he can win more quickly.
This is how good it is to be Greg Popovich. They asked him about free agency. He said, midnight, I'm going to be asleep at midnight. I'll get around to it tomorrow.
Yeah, if that's a difference, I don't want the guy.
Right.
Love the guy. Yeah, that perfect answer.
And he may land LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
But he can also do that because the
absolutely
the situation.
Right, sure.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they moved Splitter to get the money.
Yeah.
They got Danny Green relatively cheap. They were always going to do Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're Aldridge, where are you going to go? You come to, like, Toronto gives him everything he wants except for the 5 championships and a year of Tim Duncan.
Right, yeah.
So, anyway.
And Ujiri has what the one thing that he's done has had, and Raptor fans don't get mad at me, is that he has made Toronto attractive. It has become
absolutely
a much more attractive city to play in the last 3 seasons for one simple reason. Winning.
They won 95 games in 2 years.
Winning.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's got nothing to do with the border.
Nope.
It's got nothing to do with Canada. It's got nothing to do with the...
With Drake.
With ESPN.
It never did.
But it's got a lot to do with winning.
It's always had to do with winning.
But, Doug, don't you think in some ways... And you're right. It always has to do with winning. But don't you think in some ways that the Raptors... for a variety of reasons, maybe stylistically, the part of Masai Ujiri, they put themselves in the conversation with these players, yes, because it's a good young core. But you know what? I think there's going to be some buzz here with the All-Star game. There's a chance to get voted into the All-Star. I'm not saying a guy is going to come here because he knows he's going
to
get voted in the All-Star.
Don Cherry to
no,
make
but, you know,
vote.
The
That's
point
all.
Is this in the last 2 years, and you guys who cover basketball probably noticed it more than anybody else, but I don't know if people in general realize that in the past 2 years, this really stopped becoming an outpost.
Yeah.
But it stopped because
they won 95 games in 2 seasons.
Right.
That's where it stops and starts.
But all of those things that you just outlined, I think that matters for a B-level free agent more than it does an A-level free agent. DeAndre Jordan doesn't care if the fans are going to vote him into the NBA All-Star game or not.
No, but what I'm saying is that there's an environment. That this is a basketball... This is the basketball market now. We all knew it was, but now I think the chatter is out there that this is the basketball market.
Here's the fact, the truth about the Raptors that people forget in the NBA. The 3 most significant franchise players ever, to my opinion, were Vince Carter, Chris Bosh, and for what he did, Charles Oakley.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them re-signed when they could have left.
You've made that point all the time. You've made that point all the time.
And then the franchise started to lose and went a little bit south, and they got out.
The other guy in my mind, and maybe I'm biased because we got to be a little bit of friends while he was here, and the guy who's become a great public relations director for this franchise, and he's got a pretty good platform, is Jalen Rose. Rose is one of those guys when he does, you know, on his time on ESPN and ABC, where he sits and, you know, when they show that crowd of 12,000 people at Maple Leaf Square, no bigger fan of Toronto than Jalen Rose.
No.
And who understands that there is no, you know, cone of silence when you get to the 49th parallel. Yeah. And understands you can play here and have a lot of fun and do a lot of good things.
And you get 10 or 8,000 in the people of Maple Leaf Square because your team wins a division.
Correct. Oh, no, the win, but that goes to the winning. It goes back to the winning all the time.
It absolutely does. Yeah. Yes, it does. And it always has.
Yeah.
What does Masai still have to do?
He's got
to
get a power forward. And he's got
to
get a backup point guard. And I don't know who the power forward will be because I think he's going to have to trade for it because I don't think
is that where you suspect that Ross will end up being part of a deal?
Yeah, I think you got $8 million in cap room you can trade into.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ross's contract, which expires at the end of next year, and you have $2.75 of Luke Ridnour dollars to make a move if you want. You could maybe sign and trade Lou Williams in some sort of deal. So he needs to get a power forward because I don't think they could start with Patrick Patterson and then play small with Carroll. The four. They need a backup point guard, but you can shake a tree and four of them fall out.
Mm-hmm.
That's no big deal, really. If they like the kid right that they drafted for a year and a half from now.
As far as a big man goes, I mean, that always seems to come up, but Jonas is going to be your guy, isn't he?
You're committed to him to be your starting center. Yeah, they'll find a backup center because, again, you can shake a tree and you'll find six of those in September for the minimum. Who can play your 12 minutes when you're not playing small with Patterson and whoever your four is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the game's changing. You don't need that. You don't need Greg Kite. You don't need Greg Steensma. A guy. Just a guy. Tyler Hansbrough at the right number could be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm surprised.
I think you and I may be the only people in this building who know who Greg Kite is.
I know who Greg Kite is.
The three of us may be the only people in the building.
But yeah, it's like
Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to make major moves, but he's got some tweaking to do, no question about it.
And they want Hansbrough back?
I don't know what they do or not, but I think that's the kind of guy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I thought he wanted to come back.
I think he liked it here a lot, but
yeah. I think he wants
the
contract.
At the right number.
Yeah.
One-year deal. Like sure. He's going to play the rest of his life on one-year deals,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, at his number is probably like $1.5 million or $2.7 million. So
why Kevin Ollie path.
Why wouldn't you?
Is this the offseason where sports fans in general finally realize that the LA Lakers and the Knicks aren't going to win the Lakers especially they're not going to win the championship this year? Is there another sport where the big market teams like that are just kind of
the Knicks have done some minor moves, but they're making minor moves to a 17 win team.
Yeah.
So if they double their win total, they're still going to finish 10th in the East.
Yeah.
And so they're not doubling their win total.
No, they're not.
Right.
That's the most intriguing thing about this free agency period in basketball to me
is that they're non-players.
The big markets are non-players. Players will go where the money is and where the chance to win is.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Monroe went to Milwaukee. When's the last time a guy of that stature went to Milwaukee Bucks ever? Tyson Chandler
Robertson
went to
Phoenix. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. Tyson Chandler went to Phoenix by his own accord.
Mm-hmm.
Damari Carroll came to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
This is a whole new era. Monta Ellis went to Indianapolis. Mm,
right.
Now, a whole new era in the NBA.
I wouldn't go that far, though, Doug, only because we don't know what the new CBA is going to be. It may just be a blip on the radar until we know what the economic outlook is going to be. And with the Lakers, the post-Kobe era.
I would have said that, too, except that everybody who moved significantly move for long-term deals.
Because Greg Monroe and Damari Carroll want to get paid
but
now.
But doesn't a lot more have to do with the people who have ran the Lakers into the ground, Knicks into the ground?
Yeah.
We can even throw the Celtics in there to a certain point.
Oh, the Celtics are fine.
Well, they're not the Celtics that we grew up with.
No, they could be 7th or 8th in the East
right.
again.
Yeah. Well, but
that's so, like being the tallest midget.
Yeah, and the point is, as much it is, it's big market stuff. It's also bad management in certain situations,
and
not being able to cut ties and being cold-hearted businessmen when you need to be cold-hearted businessmen.
Yeah, and the allure of the franchise. For the longest time, the Lakers said, "Where the Lakers come play for us."
Yeah,
and that doesn't work anymore.
And you know, the other, I don't know how much of a factor this is. I don't know if it's a chicken or egg thing, but Lakers aren't the only team in LA now.
Well, the Clippers are just the Clippers.
Well, no, but I mean the Clippers.
Ask DeAndre Jordan, who just signed in Dallas. Jeff, the Clippers are a joke.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the Nets are not like they're the only team in that city. And point of fact, they are the second worst teams in their market.
Doesn't matter. That's still Lakers Town 1.
Yeah.
And it's not even close.
and they'll both miss the playoffs next year. Yeah. And as someone just sent me a note, and this is a very interesting aspect for Raptor fans, the trade that they made for Grievous Vasquez to Milwaukee got them the Clippers pick in 17.
Right.
And now the Clippers sucked.
Right.
Hmm. Hold on. It is only July the 3rd. We haven't played a game yet. You
absolutely.
Know?
No, they're awful. Yeah. They're going to be terrible.
I wanted to ask you about the Vasquez deal. We know that, I mean, Jason Kidd's got his type of guy. Jason Kidd wants five guys who can play four positions, basically.
Yeah.
But that seemed like an overpay in his part, didn't it?
A little bit. You're dealing in future things. A 46 picks, no big deal. You know, Jason Kidd liked Vasquez because Vasquez played really, really well against him when Jason was coaching in Baltimore. Brooklyn, rather. That playoff series. Grievous had a great series. And he's long and can play two positions and is, you know, he's relatively cheap. The pick, you know, it's good for Mazai. He moved a contract that gave him $6.5 million. He got Damari Carroll because he dealt Grievous Vasquez's contract.
Yeah. Not a bad trade-off.
No.
With two picks.
We also bid adieu to Amir Johnson in free agency. I made the point in Twitter. As someone who is just every now and then in that locker room, I found Amir to be one of the, everybody says a guy's a great guy and all that, but he was just such an easy guy to deal with.
Yeah. Could he ever stay healthy?
No.
And good for him getting 12 a year for 2 years from
second year's not guaranteed, but he got a $12 million contract.
Yeah, from the Celtics.
Pretty darn good.
And he's not going to be an impediment to anything the Celtics want to do.
Because they can clear him out next summer if they want. And Amir's a great guy, and I've said this since February. It would be great if he could end his career in Toronto, but the reality of the world is he can't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's too bad. It sucks. It's a bad thing. The fans love him. He became more of a fabric of the city than any Raptor ever.
Yeah.
I would say. For the zombie walk, the giving away CDs, all the stuff he did.
All the spontaneous sort of
the roll with Amir stuff.
Right.
Great guy. But the realities of professional sports, you got to move. Time to go.
We just got a couple of minutes left before you take the break. But we talked about the CBA coming down the road, the TV money and all that. And Masai's been very clear. Of course, you operate this season with an eye toward that because that's going to be a significant event. Is there anything Masai doesn't do this year because of what may be 2 years down the road?
I think he will save some of this rest of this $8 million to have it in his pocket to put on the total next year when he gets... The cap might be $69 million this year, we heard, instead of 67.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's going to be 91,
right.
Maybe 92. So every team's going to have that money. The teams that save a little bit this year got a little bit more next year.
A little bit more, yeah.
So you don't blow your brains out this year, but you also give Damari Carroll 15 a year, knowing that next year's 15 is really not 15.
I think Grange made the point. 15's a new 10, basically, right? Is that how you would look
like
at it?
It's like the new 8.5. Yeah.
Or the new 8.5. Yeah, actually, it really is.
It really is.
So if Anthony Davis is making this kind of money, what's LeBron going to get?
However much he wants.
Yeah.
And still be underpaid.
As the great Dave Perkins said, he will have more money than Yoko Ono.
And he'll still be underpaid.
Oh, yeah.
There's about 80% of the audience, you're going to have to explain who Yoko Ono played for.
Yeah, there's that part, too.
She's friends with Greg Kite.
She was Kessel. That's a great guy, yeah.
She was Kessel before Kessel.
That's right. That's awful. And actually, now that's not bad. For spur of the moment.
She was Kessel before Kessel.
Not bad for spur of the moment.
Oh, man.
It's Friday. Come on.
Not bad at all. I like that. Speaking of Phil Kessel, and he gave me the segue, we'll take our look around the NHL. Free agent frenzy was the 1st of July. It has continued. And we'll also talk about the Hockey Hall of Fame. Did they get it right? Who did they leave out? We always talk about who they left out. It's a pretty good class, though, even though one of them's still under contract, the team. We'll talk about that. It's a Friday roundtable. It's Blair, Madani, Shannon, and Smith. This is Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.